Welcome to Bundesliga Recap, Match Day 12. Started out with Bayern versus Cologne coming back from the international break. Bayern end up winning this only 1-0. Still get the 3 points. Big 3 points as they're still 2 points behind Leverkusen. After Leverkusen's win this match day, I'll talk about that in a second. But Bayern come back. They look a little rusty. The finishing, I think, was the most surprising part for me. Because you think of Bayern, especially last year, you definitely thought of them. I mean, I definitely thought of them as a team that struggled finishing, for sure. But now you have Kane, who's a 18-goal man in 12 games, which is crazy. And he finishes almost exactly what he has expected goals. He has 0.9 expected goals. So, he gets the goals he usually would get. But Kingsley Coman, he had a few chances. He did not put away. Leroy Sané had probably the biggest, I would say, yeah, he had the biggest letdown. 7th minute, really should have scored on a fast break in a transition moment. Another moment in the 28th minute that, again, I think it really should have been scored just outside the 6-yard box. And then he had a shot blocked in the 77th, but really, it was not where I think his finishing needs to be. And in the Bundesliga, I think that Bayern get away with it now. But when they have to go into the Champions League, when they actually have to go play Man City and Liverpool and the real, real top teams, Real Madrid, I just don't know if that's going to cut it. So I think that's a little concerning. Overall, though, there's a few other things I want to point out from a Bayern side. Mazraoui played really well, but he was on the left. Little bit confusing because usually he's typically a right back. But maybe there's something that Thomas Tuchel sees. He played pretty well in this match, but thought that was very interesting. Another very interesting thing, Thomas Tuchel didn't use a single sub in this game. So I think coming back from international break, usually you have players that rotate in and out, trying to get them back up to speed, but Thomas Tuchel sticks with the lineup the entire time, which I think shows faith, but also Choupo-Moting started as kind of that second striker. He even sometimes was more advanced than Kane was. And so, yeah, just a little bit interesting from my perspective. I don't really understand why he, to be honest, plays there. I think it worked okay in this game, but I think it could have been a lot better. He didn't have a great day finishing either. So I think concerns for Bayern on that side. I wouldn't be too concerned from Cologne based off of this match. All their other struggles, they're on 6 points, which is still terrible. They're still dead last. But only losing 1-0 to Bayern. Now, they did have a lot longer to prepare as they have very few players that leave for international break. But overall, I'd say not the worst performance from them. And I really would like to highlight Marvin Schwab, who played very, very well. He only conceded one goal when his expected goals on target was 2.5. So big ups to their keeper, who played very, very well. I thought their probably man of the match outside of their keeper, though, was Eric Martel, 21-year-old center midfielder. He looked really good. Surprised. I hadn't really heard of him, but he stood out to me watching this game. He had 52 touches, but it was in his defense. He won two challenges, but his two clearances were huge. He made 8 recoveries. He just did a work of like 2 or 3 people in the midfield that was very impressive to watch. So, big 3 points for Bayern as they continue to stay in second as Leverkusen won't drop points, but Bayern continue to stay up there as well. Dortmund, 4-2 winners at Gladbach. The attack really flowed in this game. Gladbach got out to an early 2-0 lead. Sabitzer, only 2 minutes after Gladbach got the second goal through Kone. Sabitzer gets one back. Füllkrug, 2 minutes later, equalizes. Vino Gittens, before the just after the half starts, gets a goal. And then Donya Malland, in the last minute of the game, he gets a 4th. But overall, I would say this is such an improvement for Dortmund. Now, again, the defense is still shaky. Mats Hummels is still shaky. And I just don't think there's any way you can really put him up there against Bayern and go, Mats Hummels is going to be solid. So I think that's still the huge issue. And I mean, his ball playing in this game was spectacular. It was really, 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 really nice. And I mean, he had 12 passes into the final third. He had 16 accurate long balls. Like that, those stats are almost unheard of. Like he was playing so well, distributor. But once the attack flips, he's not the most reliable center back. And I think against bigger and better teams, I think I want to see a Nicholas Sulla come in or something like that. Just because I just don't trust his pace or his pace anymore. Although, I mean, we'll get away from him for a second. Sabitzer gets a goal. Bynoe Gittens plays very well, gets a goal and assist. And Nicholas Fullkrug continues to play so well. That's his fourth goal, three assists, seven goal contributions, and not a whole ton of minutes either. I mean, he's not scoring at the rate, but you wouldn't. I mean, he's just come into this team. He came in really late into the transfer when, I mean, he came in late. So, I just don't know. I really don't know if Nicholas Fullkrug is going to be at the top and continue to play so well for them. But in this game, he was probably man of the match with a golden assist. Bynoe Gittens got a golden assist. Julian Brandt gets an assist, so that's big. Donya Mullen coming off the bench gets an assist or a goal, excuse me. So that's big. From a Gladbach's perspective, another forgettable performance, really honestly. Haven't figured out their attack yet. Alessandro Plié gets an assist, although he kind of sat and didn't really do a whole lot on the attacking. He gets his assist, but other than that, he kind of drifted off into this game, and he didn't leave his mark on it like he can. We've seen that before. Jordan Pefok gets only 45 minutes. He did not look good at all. Not really did Savan Kara. He did not look good either. He came on at half and pretty much did the same thing Jordan Pefok did. Pretty much nothing. The midfield though was very good. Koné, Weigl, and Rietz all Koné and Rietz get goals. Weigl was also good as well, or Weigl. Eldavi gets an assist. So not the worst performance from Gladbach, but definitely not secure defensively. And Dortmund really did have their way. Gladbach not in the worst position right now. They're sitting 11th, but it definitely could be better. They're only 5 points off of 16th, so little worrying. Just because Gladbach is such a big club, I would typically think they'd be higher than 11th, especially over like Augsburg and probably Wolfsburg and Freiburg. But it's just how the season's gone. It's been such up and down for them so far. But moving on to the next one, Freiburg 1, Darmstadt 1. Huller gets the equalizer after Hoeneß's opening goal for Darmstadt. 1-1 draw. Freiburg, they look good in this game. Honestly, thought they were going to win it. They definitely were the better of the two teams. Over double the amount of shots on target. I mean, in every part of the game, they really did dominate. Mostly in that first half, though. Definitely in that first half, they had way more chances, and I thought they really could have won the game. But that's just not what happened. Lucas Holler finishes a really, really easy chance, I would say, from a corner. That's, I think, the most disappointing spot from Darmstadt, letting a ball fall from a corner in the left foot. From the left foot of Holler into the back of the net after a little bit of a scramble. So, yeah, I think that's probably the disappointing part from Darmstadt, just because that's not exactly how you want it to play out. You don't want to concede from a corner, but their opening goal was a really, really quick fire shot from Hoeneß. Not the shot he typically takes, but it works out well for them in this case. Honestly, good point for Darmstadt. It's a really good point for Darmstadt. They're in 15th. They're out of 16th. I think it's an incredibly important point for them, especially going away to Freiburg, which is not an easy place to play. Going into the Black Forest area, and with Freiburg's pretty good fans, I mean, it's definitely a hard place to play, especially coming up from the Bundesliga 2. Definitely a new atmosphere for them. They handled it pretty well, but Freiburg, I think they'll feel a little bit hard done by that. It's only a draw, but right now they're sitting ninth, and I don't think this is the team, really, this is the team that's going to push them to new heights and go back to Europe. But I think as long as they don't go, as long as they don't go down to the Bundesliga 2, I think they're probably going to be a mid-table team. I think they're punching a little bit above their weight. I do think Gladbach's better. I even think Werder Bremen might be better than them. We'll see how the season goes, though. They win this game without Grifo contributing a whole ton. So I think that's definitely a positive because he's been such a vital part for their team. And he's played well. So if he plays well in this game, he doesn't have the greatest game, he'll still come back and play well. It's just now you can do it. Now you can score goals and still get results without him. So I think that's a positive definitely Freiburg can take away from this. Union versus Augsburg, another 1-1 draw. Union get their equalizer in the 88th minute from Kevin Volland. Dimitrovic got the opener on a penalty for Augsburg. Augsburg, 10th place. I mean, that's significantly better than I thought they were going to do this season. And Union, obviously, the same thing that's been said about them. They're struggling. They're really struggling. But in this game, their attack was so much better. Now, I think this has a lot to do with Augsburg not being the most secure defensive team. And this is a little bit of more of a unique game from Union's perspective, as most people they're going to play in the Bundesliga, especially with, I think, the increased talent this year than last year. They're going to be a lot more offensive and they're or defensive, and they're going to have less possession. But in this game against Augsburg, who do like to sit back, they had 62% of possession. They had more shots, definitely more shots on target. I think that's the biggest takeaway for me, how efficient Augsburg was. I mean, they only had one shot on target outside of that penalty. So that penalty proved huge for them. Although the thing is, their other shot on target, again, I would say definite big chance from Philippe Terz in the 35th minute. But they had some other chances definitely too. It wasn't just a penalty. The penalty was their best chance by far though. I wouldn't say that like Union Berlin had a higher volume of high quality chances. That's the thing that I was most excited about seeing, because I really do like watching Union Berlin play well. And in fact, they even missed a penalty in this one. I think that was disappointing, but getting the equalizer in the 88th minute, good reaction from the fans, give them something to cheer about after kind of a really miserable season. So I think Union definitely can build a lot from this game. Definitely a lot, because it's starting to build some momentum. I mean, they've got 2 points out of the last 3 games, which hadn't happened for a long time. So as they're starting to creep back in, and I think as long as they can continue adding momentum, they can really, really start progressing and maybe get out of this slump and definitely get out of the relegation spots. I don't think they'll go down at all. I don't really think that expect them to be in the relegation fight at the end of the season. But right now they're in 17th place, so I have to treat them as a relegation team. I mean, that's what they are right now. So I don't think they'll be there, just with the talent they have. And but the big news, and I did just forget it. Now I remember. It's a new coach from Union. Marco Grotz right now is the manager interim. We'll see how long we'll see if they continue with him. I don't know. They split from Urs Fischer. It said it was mutual. I mean, I pretty much believe that. Urs Fischer, I mean, Union fans have to, they can't be too mad at him. He did lead them on this run, but this terrible run, but I mean, he did so much for the club and got them into Europe and did so many great things with them. So overall, I think he was a great servant to the club, but he leaves. We'll see how Marco Grote plays, maybe a little bit more attacking and expansive. But this game against, I said it was against Augsburg, so we'll see. Moving on to a game that wasn't a 1-1 draw, Leverkusen 3-0 victors over Werder Bremen. And this is just a steam train, and I don't understand how they. I mean, Xavi Alonso's got to be looked at by every major club. Every major club's got to be wanting him. I said that about another coach last episode, this episode. It's Xavi Alonso. There's no way any coach can say, I don't like, he's playing so remarkably well that it's just, he's got Grimaldo playing out of his mind. Alex Grimaldo, just in the Bundesliga alone, has 7 goals, 4 assists. And I mean, he's been good. But in Liga Portugal last year, in Portuguese league, he had 5 goals, 9 assists in a league that's not as good. So, or not as high quality. So, with the Bundesliga being a, I would say, a much higher quality league, he's already got 7 goals. He's already got 2 more goals than he had last season. And he has 5 assists, and he has still plenty of time to get the same assist mark. I mean, how this season has been going for him and Frimpong, another player who gets a goal in this game, who's got 4 goals and 5 assists last season in the Bundesliga, who Jeremy Frimpong was actually pretty good last season, 8 goals, 7 assists. He's already close to matching at this season. So, I mean, he had a fantastic season this year, and I mean, last year, and then he's having another fantastic season this year. And the fact that Xabi Alonso is even elevating these players who were good, Alex Grimaldo and Frimpong were quality players last year, and he's just taking them to another level. I think that's the most impressive part. And then another player, Amin Adi, he comes off the bench every game, and he's contributing so often for them. He gets in another assist, so they just have so much talent coming off the bench in their starting lineup that, I mean, Xabi Alonso, and I have to give a lot of credit to the front office of Leverkusen behind the scenes, just because this team is cohesively so good, and the moves they've made are just outstanding. Hoffman, Boniface, Grimaldo, Xhaka, I mean, Koniasu. I mean, those moves alone this offseason, in the summer, I mean, that's fantastic. From the other perspective, Bremen, another game to forget. I don't think the most disappointing part is the fact that you lose. I think the most disappointing part is the fact that you only get 2 shots. No, those 2 shots were pretty impactful. It was a good chance from Borrer when he put a shot on target, and the other one hit the woodwork. So they did have chances, but only 2 shots, while Leverkusen got more goals than Werder Bremen had shots. So I think a little bit was, they were all, Werder Bremen was look a lot of the times looking for that perfect chance, and you've just got to take more shots. But overall, especially in that first half, it was steamroll dominance from Leverkusen. Move on to the Wolfsburg-Leipzig game. Wolfsburg, surprisingly to me, get the 2-1 win. Jonas Wind in the 9th minute opened up the scoring. Josef Paulsen in the 52nd minute gets the equalizer. And then Rodrigo, I might be butchering that, for Wolfsburg gets the winner. I was not familiar with him. I noticed him during the game. It wasn't the goal that I think I was most impressed by him. Now he gets the winner. That's huge. But his pace and his skill, I mean, he's 25 years old. He's played for Sassuolo, and he was on Juventus's pay. He started in the Juventus really academy. And then he played for Sassuolo. But I mean, I think in this game, I was so impressed. And looking at how, I mean, I watched a little highlight on him just because I was curious. He didn't play that well in Serie A. Like, he didn't show anything like he showed in this game. I thought he was really expansive and showed a lot of technical quality. But I can't really talk about this game without talking about Jonas Wind. Gets a goal and assist. He's looking so good right now. 9 goals, 2 assists. And again, I'm going to go back to his previous season. Previous season, 24 matches, 6 goal, almost 1,300 minutes played. And he only gets 6 goals. That's not the worst tally, but now he's got about 10,000 or about 1,045 minutes, and he's got 9 goals. So, I mean, and 2 assists as well. So, I mean, he's definitely improving a lot, and I think it definitely shows. So, I think if he continues to be the striker, it's so massive for Wolfsburg. They get 3 points off a team they probably at the beginning of the season didn't think they were going to win this game. And they do. So that's huge. They continue to stay a little right outside the European spots, fighting for it. And I definitely think they can get it. Hoffenheim, I think Hoffenheim 4 points ahead of them. Frankfurt 2 points ahead of them. They're catchable. If Jonas Wind can continue scoring and they can get a little bit more production from the two players behind him. Vasilan Serny, he's been good this season, but he's only has one goal. So he's been good, I felt, defensively, but offensively, he has not been there. Lavoro Meher from Croatia, one goal, two assists. Now he's been, again, good defensively, but they're not providing the attacking output you need out of some of your front players. So I think that's the biggest concern for Wolfsburg, I think, going forward. Moving on to the Leipzig perspective, disappointing game overall. Openda gets the assist, Josef Paulsen gets the goal, but this is a game that, I mean, I feel like Leipzig should win, and the stats say they dominated. 64% possession, Wolfsburg had about one expected goal to Leipzig's about three. So the finishing there was not there today. I think that's a little bit of the risk you're going to play with Openda. He's been a clinical finisher so far, but even in Belgium, when he was in the Belgian league, he showed flashes of inconsistency. That's what happened in this game. Josef Paulsen, he's a veteran guy, but his expected goals about where he gets it. So that's positive. Xavi Simons, he was fine in build. He was good, I feel like, in build-up play. But again, I think lacking defensively through their spine. And that's pretty much their whole team because they play a two-striker format. Xavi Simons will go out to the left. Baumgartner will go more out to the right. But with them playing with two frontmen and Openda and Paulsen will drop a little bit in. But with that, it definitely leaves space in the middle or out wide. So if they pass the ball wide, then Simons will go and press. Then they can play a 1-2 and through the middle. So that's what I did see was exploited in this game. And I want to see how Marco Rosa comes to grips with that and what he changes and tweaks. So that can't happen again. Because on that fast break, it was really rapid, quick through the midfield and then out. And then Wolfsburg got chances. So I think that's definitely a concern I have for Leipzig. Another 2-1 game, this time going in the favor of Stuttgart against Frankfurt. Dennis Undav, oh my gosh, they have another striker. Gerasi comes off the bench, his health still a little bit in question. Sebastian Hoeneß gives the nod to Undav. Undav gets two braces to reward him. I mean, two goals to reward him. I mean, I don't know what you can say without. Why and how does Sebastian Hoeneß create such good strikers? Like, he's turned Grassi into a monster because he still has, like, no, let me not remind you, 15 goals in 10 matches. I mean, that's crazy. Dennis Undav, that's his 7th goal. So if you combine those two, that's 22 goals from the strikers, and they don't play on the same, like, they rarely play at the same time. So I'm just saying, those two have been lethal. And I think if you're a striker who needs any help to revive their career, you got to go to Sebastian Hoeneß. Because Undav and Grassi were a little bit struggling as strikers, but he's definitely made them into monsters. A quick thing on Dennis Undav, though. His story is super cool. He's 27 years old, but up until 2020, he was in the third division of the Bundesliga with SV Meppen. Before that, he was with Eintracht Braunschweig, again in the third. So in the third tier of German football. Then Union St. Gallois took a chance on him. He was fantastic with them, getting 37 goals in 56 appearances. Moved to Brighton, didn't play that great. He did get 8 goals, but they weren't super happy. They loaned him to Stuttgart, and he's got 8 goals in 10 matches, 7 in the Bundesliga. So that's a super cool story, especially since he's 27. So he really only started playing in the top level like 3 or 4 years ago. So it took him until he's 23, 24 to really grasp his chance. But I mean, that's a remarkable story. But looking at it from the other perspective, Frankfurt, not the game they'll want to remember, as I've said for a lot of teams today. This one just, it didn't look like they had a whole grip on the game. And I think it's Sebastian Hornes. I mean, he's got this team playing so well, and it looks like they just go in and they pretty much have their way with almost every team. They're rapid when they need to attack, and they can play through and they can break down a team. And I think that almost they're like Bayern like, because that's the top. When you think of Bayern, you think of a team that's lethal on the counterattack. Their speed kills you. They're immediately there. Once you mess up and you're pressed up, they will take the ball, immediately go score. But they can also break you down, and I think that's the biggest thing I see with Stuttgart, is they can play so many different ways and get their goals from so many different places. And I think that's definitely the interesting part. But overall, I would say Frankfurt definitely have some issues, especially going forward. They just don't look like a super cohesive team. And I think that could be a little bit of an issue. Again, attacking, I mean, they've been good, but they're relying, again, so much on Omar Marmoush. And I feel like that could be a definite issue if it continues. So we'll see how that progresses. They're doing pretty good in the table right now. I don't think they're exactly where they want to be. But it's not the worst position in seventh, and they're right outside the top six and most likely European spot. So I think they definitely could get it, but they've got to get more forward contribution away that's not Omar Marmoush. Going to the Sunday games, 0-0 draw between Heidenheim and Bochum. Not too much to say on this one. Pretty expected game, although I was not expecting the quality shot Bochum took. Kevin Müller for Heidenheim had a really nice game, but his distribution impressed me in this game. But overall, yeah, not the most exciting game. Bochum's attack, like I spoke in the last one, not that great. Tacomo Sano, Hoffman, and Daschner, none of them really scare me. As much as I like watching Tacomo Sano play, he's just not clinical. Clyden Heiss, thought he's a little bit more clinical. He's been pretty decent this season with 5 goals. And Dinschke, the 21-year-old winger, he's cooled down a little bit. He still has 5 goals, so that's pretty good. You got Nicholas Best, 5 goals, 4 assists. So they do have talent going forward. They just could not get it done in this game. Bochum, I think that's the difference between, I think, why Heidenheim will stay up and I think why Bochum will go down. It's just the talent difference attacking. Hoffenheim won. Mainz won. Skov gets the equalizer after Richter's 39th minute goal. Baumann, huge penalty save in this one. Massive in the 68th minute. Would have turned out probably been the winner for Mainz, but big save on that. Hoffenheim having a pretty good season. Palomino Monterazzo has them playing pretty well. This was a really even match. And overall, I think a draw is pretty fair. From the Mainz side, a little bit disappointing to have a penalty that probably would have won you the game slip away. But again, traveling to Hoffenheim, going there, getting a point, that's somewhat positive. I think it's a little bit more damaging to them because it feels like 2 points drop just because how Mainz haven't been playing well this season. They're in 16th, but overall, definitely not the worst performance from Hoffenheim. But thank you for listening. That will do it for this week's Bundesliga recap. Have a great day. Bye.